The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning, too. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly by DeLon, it says here. Kelly by DeLon.
Hi, Kelly by DeLon here.
Producer good number nine. So much more than a producer. What's happening, man?
Not much. Quite a couple days.
Anything happened yesterday I should know about?
Nothing really.
No. Everything's good. Okay. On the show today, Drew Dinsick to talk Olympics. Oh, you got Olympics fever? Yeah?
Huh? Dude, opening ceremonies on Friday.
LeBron carrying the flag.
Yeah.
Would you be nervous if you're carrying the flag to drop it? Or would you be like, oh my God, I better hold on to this thing?
You know what? That's exactly one of those things I wouldn't think about until Gil Alexander asked me about, like the arm swinging.
Right, and after then, I would. Told you about your pronounced arm swing.
Exactly.
Hey, yes. Kelly, you know, we might not want to drop the flag.
Like now, I feel bad for LeBron. He obviously listens to this show every day. It's going to be in his head now when he's walking out there.
Billions are watching, Kelly. You also might want to slow down on the arm swing while you're at it. And of course, not of course, I shouldn't say this, Paul Sporer might be of course, but Aaron Schatz on the show today. Aaron, who comes on this show quarterly during the NFL season to talk DVOA with us. He used to be, he was the founder of Football Outsiders, pioneer in NFL analytics. He now does stuff at FTN. FTN, by the way, doesn't stand for anything, just FTN. It's like Harry S. Truman. Look up the S. Stands for nothing. FTN Sports.
Really?
Yeah, that's true. He has done this, Aaron has, football preview guides for 20 years now. 20. This is his second year doing it at FTN, and so he will join us. By the way, it's called Aaron Schatz's FTN Almanac.
Well, yeah, I mean it was a big deal when they got the DVOA and Football Outsiders acquisition. So yeah, he should have his name on it. He should.
It's like Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. That's a reference you won't understand.
No, I don't at all.
Neil Simon's something on Broadway. Right?
Also, does FTN just kind of like fantasy shortened?
I don't know, but FTN sounds like it would be a football thing, right? Or a fantasy thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, he'll join us because we're going to talk his big surprise sort of thoughts. From the preview guide, I have a little bone to pick. Not really, but kind of. Because guess who's number 32 in DVOA heading into the season?
Oof.
Your Washington Taco Holders. Number 32, he said. Okay.
Ben went after him last week, too. Oh,
did he?
Boy.
By the way, buried him. By the way, I failed to say this yesterday, and it's super bad form because it's always the first thing I say when I come back from vacation. For whatever reason, we glossed over yesterday. Jared Smith, Ben Wilson, both awesome. Jared is super awesome. Ben is super awesome. They are great at what they do, and I really appreciate them hanging out here with you.
Yeah, man. They kick ass every time.
I had to hang out with you 5 days for God's
sake. That's what I feel bad about.
Okay. I should probably start with this, though. Yesterday, we were joking here at the top. Yesterday, I don't know if you saw the press release, Musburger Media. That's what we're calling now? Musburger Media? Media.
I caught that note as well.
That was the kind of slid that for Congress.
Slip in, yeah.
I was like, okay. Musburger Media announced it has purchased VSiN, the sports betting network from DraftKings. Original founders Brian Musburger and Bill Adee, who were part of the team that previously launched and led the multi-platform broadcast and content company, will lead it moving forward. And that, Kelly, is fantastic news for all of us. It is something, and Kelly, you know this from when we left the South Point. You and I are pretty good at steel trapping things. Like if the Musburgers ever needed a secret kept, you and I are pretty good choices. Mm-hmm. So sort of kept this under wraps here for a long time until like the last couple weeks where it kind of just got out there. So this is, listen, if you're looking for me to say a bad thing about DraftKings, I won't. We were with DraftKings for 3 years. DraftKings purchased it, purchased VSiN in 2021, in March, I believe, of 2021, after we had been on air for 4 years. DraftKings always treated me nicely. I think they always treated you nicely. Yep. With any corporate takeover, there are always challenges. Let's put it that way. We're not gonna say everything was always rosy, but they treated us beautifully and tried to work us out. I think, you know, if you ask them, they had a media strategy, and I don't know if their vision was realized in all the different media things they were doing. Mm-hmm. And nonetheless, this opportunity presented itself, and Brian and Bill, as we know them, Brian Musburger, Bill AD, repurchased. By the way, I don't purport to speak for them because I don't know the details of anything. I have not pried. They have not shared. They shared as much as they could. But it was widely reported. It was a bar stool type deal. Not exactly bar stool, by the way. They wish it were a bar stool type deal, believe me. But it wasn't quite that. Did they purchase it for less than they sold it for? Sure. But I will just say this. Brian and Bill, I've said this to you privately. I've said it to other people privately. If VSiN were to have, just personally speaking, if VSiN were to end tomorrow, if it were to end the next day, I will never have a bad thought about either of those two guys. It was their vision, along with, by the way, Brent Musburger and Todd Musburger and Michelle Musburger. It was their vision to have the first ever sports betting network, and it has been nothing but the finest ride there has ever been, and that ride continues now with VSiN 3.0. So I just want to address a couple things that, because we got a lot of feedback on this yesterday, but I think the most common tweets that I got to see, maybe in your timeline as well, one of them is, get that guy out of the D. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe. Anything's possible now. What was it that one troll said one time? He goes, he's broadcasting from a food court. I was like, that is awesome. Food court. Sparrow is like behind us or something like that. So we'll see about that. But the other big thing, obviously, and Kelly, this is one of these things where I just want to say to you, because you did guessing lines with me this past year. Guessing lines was a staple of NFL seasons that Chrissy Andrews and I, my mishpucha, and I did for over a decade in podcast form and then at VSiN. And a lot of people, I mean, I think that was the single most common tweet yesterday. It lasted all day, all night long about it's guessing lines coming back, some mishpucha coming back. And I will just say to that, I don't make those decisions, but no is not the answer. How about that?
Okay.
But I want to say to you, as I'm sure we all do, Chrissy, I will speak for him as well, that you did a masterful job in his absence. And if it's you and me moving forward, that'll be an awesome thing. But obviously, this is something Chrissy and I have done for a long time. But you were awesome, and so it's awkward that was the most common thing yesterday. I was like, oh, Kelly doesn't need to read that, definitely. But just wanted to say to you that. We enjoyed it tremendously this past year doing it.
I didn't take that any sort of way.
Okay, good.
I mean, obviously, it's been better with Chris. I was still a part of it, though, when Chris was doing it with us. So I don't like.
Yeah, no.
Unless I'm leaving.
That's what I meant.
That was my hit from Gil right now.
You're out. Yeah. No. We don't know. I don't know. So the answer is not no. Let's put it that way. Maybe. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that there are, a couple things, like you said, no ill will towards DraftKings. They will still be a partner on this network. You mm-hmm. will still see them brought up on this network. So I think that that's worth bringing up. And, what changes immediately from the user experience and audience experience at home? Really, not much. It's really not much. I think the way that you've been consuming VSiN is the way that you're going to continue to consume VSiN for the time being. Could there be changes in the future? Sure. But, I think for anything that anybody's possibly worried about today, nothing's going anywhere right now.
Nothing's going anywhere. At least all Kelly Bidlin, who apparently sort of resigned from guessing lines a moment ago.
Yeah, I think I, so. Well, I resigned. You resigned me. We appreciated your time here. Thank you.
I didn't mean it that way. I totally didn't mean it that way. I just, as they were coming in yesterday, I was like, oh, poor Kelly. All right. So that is all great news. It's wonderful news. And for those of us who have lived this for a big portion of our lives, it continues to be even more awesome.
I had to chuckle at the I think it's Frank from Seven Hills. I want to make sure I get this right. The rogue bring back primetime action tweet.
Yes.
That last.
Yes, there's one of those. It's like, hey, you guys want to work 5 hours a day, twice a day? Sure. The rogue primetime action tweet. That's very true. We will talk NFC North. Speaking of our buddy Matt Brown, we will talk NFC North later. And the reason that we associate him with the NFC North is because, again, his factory hard drive is set to Joe Burrow. Is what does he call him? Jesus H. Burrow, he calls him?
Jesus H. Burrow, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk NFC North as well. Yesterday, Royals won. That was good for our baseball bet. Not a lot of teams fell, though. So the last four wins have gone from 20th place to 17th to 14th. To 11th to 9th, but still three wins behind the Tigers. Come on, Guardians. Help a brother out. You know what I mean? Since we had all that time together. Jeez.
So you were so close.
Royals 10-4 win. By the way, Bobby Witt Jr. is the best show in baseball. Yeah. I know people think Shohei and Aaron Judge are. This dude is insane.
So, okay, so set this up for me because I didn't watch this game. He had just a single to go for the cycle.
He only needed a single, and he got beaned. And then he had a final at-bat where I believe he was retired.
Okay.
But he got beaned, and then it turned into a big kerfuffle, to use your word.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, and essentially, if you were reading lips, Terry Lobolo was like, I would never, ever authorize a pitch. I'm sure John Boy will have something on this. I would never, ever tell one of my players. He brought in Sal Perez just to listen to it, too. And so, you know, it's your basic baseball kerfuffle that ends up in nothing.
Well, he said that post-game, too. I actually thought his post-game comments were... They were pretty cool to hear from a manager where he was like, look, Bobby Witt's awesome. Like, he's the future of this game. Like, yeah. I'm a fan of his. Like, him up for the cycle, there was no way I was intentionally calling for that. But we also know it does happen in baseball, right?
Well, that was a positive development. By the way, the two we went 1-2 in tennis. The two tennis plays that sadly came after a numbers game didn't win. I have two coming up today if you're interested. We'll give those out in a bit. And the other thing I was watching while I was watching the Royals win 10-4 against the Diamondbacks, poor JVT and the Memphis Grizzlies League team. Oh, my God. By my count, they missed 37 free throws down the stretch.
Yeah. It had to be the Heat, too. Had to be the Heat.
Of course the Heat won the Summer League.
They stole more money from JVT's pocket than any team ever.
That organization is ridiculous. Sorry, JVT. Felt for you, man. Drew Dinsick on the Olympics next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I also want to thank you, Kelly, for your service in the first segment. Oh, sorry. The VSiN NFL betting guide is out now, and our all-new college football guide drops August 1st. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and NFL seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats, trends, and power ratings. Plus, best bets are on futures, rather, and season win totals. Sign up before the end of July and receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, and exclusive data like our betting splits all the way through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount price of just $175. The football special discount price expires on July 31st, so do not wait. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Again, that expires in 8 days. 8 days. We're still in July, Kelly. Are you aware of this?
Still in July. Pepperoni pizza, please, for my going away party, okay? Pepperoni. It's all I request.
You're leaving?
Yeah, you fired me last time.
I keep doing that. I keep doing that and acting like it didn't happen. What are you talking about? Are you leaving us? Pepperoni. Okay, let me write that. Oh, stop it. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, also, this show has never been as fun as it has been with Kelly Bidelon. Ladies and gentlemen, Drew Dinsick joins us from Long Beach. The LBC, as the kids call it, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's Whale_Capper on Twitter. Not the host of one podcast, but the host of two. NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher and Drew Dinsick. And, of course, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor and Drew Dinsick. It's Drew Dinsick, everybody. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. It's Olympic week. What do you mean? How am I doing? How am I doing?
What a question.
How am I doing? The Olympic opening ceremonies are on Friday, Gil. We're in like, this is like almost pencils down. I'm going to have to have all my projections done here and be rock solid on my numbers like any day now. So I'm under no stress. How are you doing?
Wow, geez, you don't have to get all mad about it. Were you the guy, by the way, when the teacher said pencils down, were you the guy that like did 3 seconds extra and then you put it down? Was that you?
Who did it?
Oh, well, no. I'm very much the opposite. I was a test taker. Like I was especially like good at like kind of solving the test.
Oh, I can see that.
I consistently tested better than I was actually putting in effort. and just in general, when it came to like tests and pencils down and things like that, I was all about speed. It was all about like just, you know, first cut through, get them all. And then, I was usually dinking around, waiting for the opportunity to go to the bathroom, get a snack, whatever, as opposed to stressing till the end.
The other part of the story is so that he gets into Duke and he takes his first class and the professor immediately goes, who is this idiot? How did he get into this school?
Who let you get in here? Who let this guy?
All right. So Olympic opening ceremonies, the special numbers game investigation, Kelly just conducted it, begins Friday. Olympic ceremonies, opening ceremonies on Friday. LeBron is holding the flag.
Who you got?
No, not yet. Not yet. There's no opening ceremony competition. But there is 330 events in 2 weeks. So 330 golds given out. Let me just start there. USA, the rightful favorite for most golds and for most medals, yes?
Without question, the rightful fave for most golds and most medals. And China is kind of nipping on our heels. And if you look at what happened in Tokyo, you would say, well, it took till the last event. The last gold awarded went to the United States in the women's omnium. Bonus points for anyone who could tell me what sport women's omnium is.
Oh, we did this before.
Yes.
Kelly,
we had 25-1. Lauren something comes home in women's omnium and ultimately put us one gold medal ahead of China. But what was important to recognize is China overperformed a hair in Tokyo. U.S. underperformed wildly. And in fact, the market is still like low on USA total gold medals because of just a little bit of that residual of, the bar we set in Tokyo being quite low. And you can just point to a couple sports and a couple athletes in particular, women's gymnastics, Simone Biles, not to single anyone out, but, kind of specifically contributing to, three or four gold medals that we left in Tokyo that we are expected to win in Paris. That is going to really help kind of create some margin there. And I guess just for posterity's sake, let me see what my current total is here for the USA gold. My mean projection, let's see, text filters contains U period S period. I got a lot.
Boop, 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 boop.
I have us projected to win 43 golds. So I'm on USA over 39.5. And I think I have a 5 gold margin projected between us and China.
Okay. Over 39.5. Let's all write these down together. 32 sports, 330 medals, over 39.5 golds for the good old U.S. of A. You mentioned, okay, so again, the prohibitive favorites in terms of just winning the most, they're minus 500, so that's not as fun of a bet. But let's go to your wheelhouse. You were a swimmer. We've talked about this before. You swam at Duke. You were awesome enough to be a D1 swimmer. I assume you never got to an Olympic trials or obviously the Olympics itself. That would have come up at some point, Drew, for God's sakes, I hope. but let me just ask you this about swimming, because this is different from these Olympic sports. This applies to track and field as well, right? But these Olympic sports are different in that you have heats and then you have the semis and the actual event, right?
Yeah.
Do you then, like, how often does your pre-flop change by what you see in the heats or the semis? Like, if someone is overexerting themselves, if you think someone is gassed too soon, like, how often does that happen?
Ooh, that's the art and the most fun part of betting the swimming, because there is multiple stages. And I guess just for full transparency, I did not ever make Olympic trials. And I had enormous respect for the swimmers who did make those times. You literally have to be like clearly top 50 in the United States, in an event, in an open category. And I think probably the fastest I ever did in my very best event, I was maybe probably top 500. So you know, is add an extra decimal point to like the percentile you are in the U.S. in order to get to trials. It is extremely hard. And then from there, only the top two qualify, which is amazing.
Geez.
And the drama of like third place not getting to go, particularly in events like the women's 100 fly, where we probably would have swept, like the woman who missed out is our top qualifier in the 100 and 200 backstroke. So she's probably going to win a gold medal. So we don't need to be too sad for her. But that said, it was, that was a bronze medal that was right there waiting to be picked. And ultimately she can't go because we can only send two. But the stages of swimming are very, very fun and lead into huge handicapping angles. The sprint events, which is 200 and shorter, they do it three times. They do heats, they do semifinals, they do finals. And in general, the best swimmers in the world, the swimmers who are realistically targeting gold, they are trying to progress. They're trying to get fast. You want to go fast enough in heats that you clearly qualify as top 16. You want to go fast enough in semifinals that you clearly qualify in top 8. For some events, it's important to be in the middle of the pool, so you want to be a top qualifier. And for some events, there's a mental advantage in showing enough in the semifinals that your competitors are like, oh boy, we're in trouble here. But in general, the way that you want to try to quantify a performance is you want to look at how did this exact swimmer do in trials, in national trials. Like, what was their progression there? Are they ahead of it? Are they behind it? And that is going to tell you a little bit of, did they peak at trials? Are they peaking now? Did something happen with their taper? Right? Like, there's going to be kind of nuggets of info between the lines that are not going to be clearly obvious unless you kind of actually do the homework of comparing like to like, right? So now what is their final splits relative to what did they do in the semifinals of the Olympics? That's meaningless. What was their semifinal splits at trials relative to their semifinal splits at the Olympics? That is going to tell you something valuable.
Does that create betting opportunities? Like from?
Oh no, without question.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Question.
And like not just in that event, but then like certainly like maybe even the more valuable ones are the ones that kind of trickle into the rest. You know, what does that mean? Right. Like if I've used this example a couple of times. So if you've heard it already, apologies. But first day of the trials, we have the women's 400 freestyle. This is an important event because it used to be Katie Ledecky's to lose. And now it is Ariana Titmus's to lose. She is Australia's best swimmer. And she is like clearly the world's best in that event. OK, Australia has a long history of going to the Olympics and belly flopping. And there is lots of like speculation as to why. And there's people who think that they've solved those problems because of how well they did in Tokyo. Tokyo, if you didn't already know, pretty similar in terms of time zone to Australia. So like if your theory is they tend to underperform in Europe and in the Western Hemisphere because of the time zone change, then that's going to be on test in Paris. And I think in general, looking at specifically what Titmus does in the semifinals of the 400 free compared to what she did in Australia a month ago is going to be very, very valuable. And if she underperforms there, and if she ultimately, that's going to, number one, open the door for Summer McIntosh to steal the 400 free of Canada, breakout star of this year's Olympics, the Elaine Gu, people are saying, of the Summer Olympics. But if she underperforms, that's going to tell you something that probably is like a little bit of a contagion all across the Australia swimming team. So it's going to, that's going to trickle into 10 events.
Oh, this is pretty. This is actually really interesting. Okay, when you come back, let's see if we can't coax an underdog swimming play or two out of Drew, whether in a long distance swim or in a short sprint, and other Olympics bets he has as well. It's Drew Dinsick on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin on a numbers game. Un partido de números, for those of you listening in Spanish. Drew Dinsick joins us once again, whale_capper on Twitter. Deep Dive Podcast with Andy Molitor and, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. Jay's got the accent, so he sounds awesome no matter what he says. You're in that... Are you in that that chat with Jay where he's like a huge Celtics fan and he goes crazy if you say anything mean about the Celtics?
Yeah, Jay's a little different in that chat. If there's any anti-Boston Celtics stuff brought up, you see a little different Jay Croucher. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if Kelly was around at the time, but Jay went head to head with I think 5 or 6 guys in that chat on Celtics prices preseason last year. So he had an especially specific reason to grind that axe.
Absolutely.
There it is. By the way, tennis chat is it's tough in there too, by the way. All right, so we're nerding out here with Drew about swimming, which is something that he did swam competitively, and we want to get to a bet here. And so just to review real quick, we're talking about the progression from heat to semifinals to finals, that oftentimes betting opportunities will arise because someone will, let's say, overperform in a heat. That will adjust the odds. Drew knows from his longer-term data that's not right. Those odds shouldn't adjust. I'm sort of riffing here. Drew, you tell me if anything I'm saying is incorrect. And so it can create opportunities like that. Also, you brought up the national thing. If you see, we'll use Australia. If you see that they're just, if you see one or two swimmers doing poorly in a heat, maybe you start to draw conclusions about their entire training as a whole. The other one that I want to ask you about, because you and I always nerd out on tennis, doing the Beating the Book podcast on slams, and we talk about, you know, the difference between best of threes and best of fives, just a sort of generality. When men play best of fives in slams, it's going to be harder for the underdogs to manifest, just because the longer you play, the more that the talent will win out. In swimming, there are longer events, right? And then there are sprints. I'm curious, by nature of the length of the event, does that create more variance? The shorter, the more variance.
Absolutely. I think the two events with the highest variance are going to be your 50 freestyle and your 100 backstroke. 50 freestyle, because it literally just comes down to how good was your reaction time off the block. Like, that literally could be the difference between gold and fourth. And then in the 100 backstroke, it's similar. Like, your feet are in the water when you start. So the likelihood of a slip and a poor start is higher for backstroke, and that can create a little bit of uncertainty. And similarly, you are kind of using your count and your own mental space in order when to flip over for your turn in order to get the best possible turn. And then, that makes things a little bit more insane there as well. And to make matters even more wild, in the 100 meter backstroke, you have four swimmers worldwide who are within a few hundredths of each other in terms of personal bests. So there is basically a clear and obvious four-man tier in the 100 backstroke that's going to make that the best single individual event of the Olympics, in my opinion. You have USA's Ryan Murphy, who is the most decorated and the longest, kind of just in general. He probably is he's the senior member of our men's and women's teams overall. Like, he's just been to the most, maybe Ledecky is in the same exact category, but, certainly Ryan Murphy has been to a number of Olympics and has won gold before at the 100 backstroke. And he is your current favorite, but I'm a bet against Murphy in that one. Basically three other contenders to choose from. And, I backed the longest shot of these three, and it's the Greek Apostolos Christos, Christou. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's the Greek backstroker. It's pretty obvious when you look at the odds board. He was 10-1 range when he was 1/100 off Brian Murphy's qualifying time when he did European qualifying, and that was June. He's on the ascension. He's a younger swimmer, so you get a little bit more uncertainty just because he doesn't have the experience of being at the Olympics before. But for my money, if I could only watch one final, it would be the men's 100 back. It's going to be unbelievably close, and I think just in general, having a long shot in that type of race makes sense.
Wow, Apostolos Christou. What number did you get him at?
10-1.
10-1.
Probably that's moved.
By the way,
I'm seeing 4-1.
4-1. 4-1 still good though, right?
4-1 still. 4-1 is getting closer to fair because, as I mentioned, there's four guys who could, any of them could win. But I would put him second choice behind Murphy, and it would be like basically neck and neck in terms of who should win that race. So I give him about a 33% chance. I would give Murphy about a 33% chance. I give the Italian about a 20% chance, and then the Chinese swimmer backstroke gets about the remaining.
Hey, Drew, any idea why this isn't up at swimming? And I'm looking at you, buddy. Why isn't this up at bookmaker swimming? Why?
They put up some really bizarre, random stuff. I don't know why it's not all up there, but the stuff that is up there, they're taking massive clicks and swings on, but they didn't just put everything up. I'm assuming it will all come. You have a smattering of options right now. That is
it is like a smattering.
35% yes. of the total events in any given sport. I don't know why.
Okay. 100 meter backstroke, Apostolos Christou, over 39.5 golds for the United States. You got 5 minutes. Go anywhere you want. Give us any bets you got to make for us.
Okay. So the high likelihood stuff for Team USA in the swimming is the obviously, I think the most likely gold is Katie Ledecky in the 800 and the 1500 free. I think you have a realistic chance to sweep the medley for the men and women, the medley relays. I don't know about the mixed medley. That one's going to be up for grabs. But the 4x100 medley for the men and the women independently are both Team USA for me. And then it starts to get a little bit rough. That's only four golds. and we are kind of dogs pretty much everywhere else outside of the women's 100 fly. If you want a hot take there, we had a world record swim at U.S. trials from Gretchen Walsh in the women's 100 fly, and then she was unable to back that up in the finals. So that kind of goes to your, you know, does she have the experience? Were the nerves high? What was going on adrenaline wise that got her there at the semis, and then she couldn't do it again in the finals? And I think that actually opens up the door for the other American woman, Tori Husk, who has been here before and is really, really quite close. These are the two fastest women in of all time swimming this race, and they're both U.S. and they're not that big of a difference. But because Gretchen comes in with the world record pedigree, then you're getting a really, really favorable price on Tori Husk. And so I can't pass up that one. That's five likely medals in like gold medals for the U.S. in swimming. And we'll get probably three or four more, but that's about it. So it's going to be a lean haul for us in terms of Olympic swimming gold this year. And I think, I'm hopeful that Caleb Dressel shows up and kind of brings his sort of experience and pedigree to the table in both the 50 free and the 100 fly, although I think realistically he's only probably going to win one of those. I think ultimately, the European swimmers look like they're going to have themselves a nice little time in the 100 and the 200 freestyle. As well as Leon Marchand. He's the guy I kind of have the most close eyes on because I have a heavy stake in France under gold. They're up to 24.5 here. And let me tell you, like, I have been trying hard to figure out exactly how we get to this number. I'm only projecting them right now to win, to be likely gold in 18 events. And then likely silver, and when I come up with a projection for gold medals, I'll give 70% weight to who I think will likely win gold, unless it's an event that I think is just an absolute slam dunk and we'll go higher. But just generically, 70% if I'm projecting you first, 20% if I'm projecting you second, 10% if I'm projecting you third, and then summing across everything and all of the events, I'm only at 19 gold expected for France. And so if they overperform to the tune of 25, I'm going to be completely blown away and out of a lot of money. But Leon Marchand in the swimming is a guy that matters a ton because I'm expecting him to win gold in the 200 and the 400 IM, as well as two fly and maybe even another surprise. So that's three potential golds in the pool for the French. I think ultimately that's going to mean a lot one way or the other for them getting to that number.
What was Marchand, 200, 400? What was the other event for him?
2 IM, 4 IM, 2 fly. I think he can win all three of those.
4 IM, 2 fly. You got all that, Kelly? All of this, of
man,
course.
I'm still working on what an individual medal is, okay?
He's still
like a vegetable medal?
He's still working on Omnium.
Yeah.
By the way, what is Omnium?
Omnium is cycling. It's like the IM. You know the IM, they do one of each stroke in the pool.
Yeah.
The Omnium, it's like they do track cycling, like the Pursuit, the Madison. Like they have like all these other different like styles of track cycling, and it's like one leg of each, and then you sum up your points, and you're basically the best indoor track
they
cyclist.
They have multiple styles of track cycling. I am so far behind.
All right. All the swimming is
do a wheelie one.
All the swimming is week one of the Olympics. We'll get to track and field stuff with Drew next time as well. 10 seconds. You want to give a one non-swimming from the first week? Anything?
Lisa Carrington. If you ever find a market with Lisa Carrington in the canoe, that's better win gold.
Lisa Carrington in the canoe.
Carrington of New Zealand, best athlete at these Olympics.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it. Drew Ditzik, everybody. My man. We'll come back. Some NFC North talk next on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN. VSiN, the sports betting network.
July's ending with a bang. UFC 304 has not just one, but two titles on the line. Get your own crown. Jump in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. That's code VSIN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Kelly, I don't dare Ron Burgundy through these. Let's see. Let's see. Trust the glove. Come on, voice. He calls me voice. Throw your marginally controlled weight around and make guessing lines come back. I love listening to him. I really miss the my time. I don't know what he's saying. Let's see. Primetime. Cowboys underscore Cubs 1. Some thoughts from Gil's first segment today. VSiN may end tomorrow. He's joking. Gil hates Kelly. Chrissy and Gil are, we don't know that. We don't know.
I felt like I was getting accepted into the Hall of Fame or something without realizing my career had been over.
The Walmart Bradley Cooper says, now producer number 9 is being demoted. Rack me, I'm out. No, he's not. let's see. Jason H11, would it be inappropriate to ask Kelly his email address so I can send in my resume for his job?
That's a good one.
Oh, man. Oh, there's so many of these. There are too many to get to in this last day, so I apologize because I usually respond to every one of them, but obviously it was an onslaught yesterday, and everybody was super cool. As Brian Musburger and Bill Ady buy back VSiN from DraftKings. That's the big news of yesterday. Okay, NFC North, Kelly, because we've talked about the NFC East a few times. AFC North, pardon me. We've talked about the NFC East, and we'll just go through these division by division. AFC North, which you and I, or at least I, have made the most bets in so far. I think you too, right, have made the most bets in. I bet the Bengals to win the division at +175 months ago.
Was that at this point? We both bet that. Was that your first bet? It was the first bet, right? Yeah.
We'll always remember our first, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
So they say. And I bet the Pittsburgh Steelers under season win totals and alternate under season win totals at plus money as well. So at 8.5 and at 7.5 at plus money. Just sort of like one by one, because we're going to have Aaron Schatz on to promote FTN, his FTN almanac here coming up momentarily. But I just want to start with, because we had Samich on yesterday. He was talking about on the handle how him and Matt Brown were going at it. Samich loves the Browns this year. Matt Brown loves the Bengals. Matt Brown always loves the Bengals. And I feel like we're forgetting about the Ravens in all of this. Full disclosure, again, my little buddy is on the practice squad on the Ravens, so I'm predisposed to love the Ravens. But we forget, and I'll quote a lot of Aaron Schatz here, we forget that the Baltimore Ravens last year had, I believe, the fifth greatest DVOA of all time since Aaron has been tracking his proprietary stat, which, again, goes play-by-play, granular level, versus league average. Every single play, offense and defense, all the way back, he goes all the way back to 1979 now. It's the 2007 Patriots and the 1991 Skins, who are 1-2, and depending on if you include the playoffs or not, one is first and the other is second. The Ravens were fifth. That's how good the Ravens were last year. Fifth best in that era from 1979 till now. And, of course, they met their fate playing the Kansas City Chiefs at home in a game that, again, if you go back and watch it, the Ravens could have easily won had a couple things not happened. And so they lost a lot of talent in their coaching staff. Mike McDonald, obviously, being the biggest name of all that. He's now the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. By the way, defensively, they were just unbelievable under him. Clowney was a one-year rental. Beckham was as well. They've signed elsewhere. Patrick Queen and Geno Stone,
yep,
they capitalized on career years. They're gone. But it's and they did lose three offensive linemen. So it's not like they didn't lose players. They did. Did they also benefit from Joe Burrow being hurt? Of course they did. But I just don't ever think there's any reason to believe the Ravens are going to fall off a cliff. And if you look at Aaron's, just to use Aaron because he's coming on the show here momentarily, if you look at his pre-flop, his preseason DVOAs, he's got San Francisco rated number one and he's got Baltimore rated number two, man.
Yeah, I don't think any huge surprise there. I view this team very much similar to how I viewed them the past couple years. But I do think last year they outperformed my expectations a little bit during the regular season. I think that there's a lot of great things coming back this year. I do think the coaching changes are going to be a bigger deal than maybe some people think. And yes, I think some of those losses on the defensive side will show up. But this is like me and you have talked about this. This team and Lamar Jackson specifically for a lot of years. There are the big moments, the playoff games. I'm not going to be on the Ravens very often. Regular season, though. Yeah, over the course of a regular season, should they win 12, 13 games? Probably. Like, the roster's that good, and they are that good just as a team that I think they're a much more dangerous regular season team than what I trust them in the playoffs.
Until they do actually get there, and then that goes away in a blink, right?
Sure, yeah. So,
I will say this. I mean, it could be, right, when we look back at the Ravens' history, maybe last year was there is a scenario where last year could have been the peak, and that was the year they're supposed to get there, and they didn't. But I will say this, like, besides maybe the Chiefs, maybe even the Chiefs, is there a team in the NFL out of 32 teams that would surprise you more if they ever just suddenly fell off a cliff? And my answer is, there is no team that would surprise me more. They are the most rock-solid organization. I could see scenarios where, let's say Brock Purdy didn't turn out to have a good year again. Okay, San Francisco could fall off. Maybe not off a cliff, but they could fall off. We could see it with Buffalo if there's nobody around Josh Allen, right? Pick your team. Philadelphia, we already saw it last year.
I think you're right.
Baltimore is as rock-solid as they come. Now, I get what Samich, here's Samich and Matt Brown, the handle, weekends here on the network at noon Eastern. Samich is all about the Browns. Aaron corroborates, or Aaron agrees with everything Samich is saying, which is quarterback might be their weak point, right? Yeah. Talk about DVOA. Jim Schwartz and that defense last year were unbelievable. They had the fifth best defense of the DVOA era, again, since 1979, to not lead the league in defensive DVOA, narrowly finishing behind Baltimore. Their DVOA against wide receivers, wide receiver ones, twice as good as the second best team, only Baltimore better against wide receiver twos. And here's the thing about the Browns' defense last year. They should have been better in the stuff that is, variant and you can't really control. They generated 44 interception-worthy throws, comfortably the most in the league, Kelly, but only had 18 actual interceptions. 44 interception-worthy throws that they should have had. 18 only was actually resulted in picks. That means they also led the league in interception-worthy throws that weren't converted into picks, as I'm saying.
Yeah.
So Cleveland also recovered. They also only recovered 47.1% of their 17 forced fumbles. They were also horrendous in the red zone, allowing touchdowns on 73.2% of the opponent's red zone trips. So Cleveland's defense, as great as they were, only the fifth best defense of the DVOA era not to lead the league in defensive DVOA, and they should have been better. Red zone, fumbles, picks. And then there's the Bengals, and I haven't heard Matt's soliloquy about the Bengals this year, but think about the roller coaster year they had. Burrow at first with a calf, the Zapruder film calf footage, right? They got off to a horrible start. Then he started playing great, but then the wrist injury, he was done. Browning comes in and actually wins them three games in a row, only to falter at the end. They still went 9-8. The Bengals did, right? And the Bengals, when you look at them, they had the hardest, in the DVOA era, again, we'll get to Aaron here momentarily, but when you're looking at hardest schedule all time since 1979 after actually seeing how the teams did in retrospect, the Bengals played, are you ready for this? The eighth hardest schedule ever since 1979.
Jeez.
Last year.
Yeah.
This year projected fourth easiest in the league. And they still finished 9-8 with all that last year, and the Burrow injury and Browning coming in. So I get the Bengals, position as well. Sorry, Steelers fans, though. Your schedule is still the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, and I just don't know how you get to their total.
It's the best division in football.
Yep.
I think that you can, as you just laid out, you can make a case for all three of those teams, and I really can't push back on it. I was thinking about it, the Ravens point that you made. I think it's so good because you are right. As much as I might doubt them in the playoffs and stuff, what team would shock me more if they took a major step back?
It's them.
Like, I was just trying to think through. I think the next team to me would be the Detroit Lions, only because of how they're built. You know, if we're not counting injuries, right? Take away injuries, right? But, like, obviously they don't have the years of the track record that the Ravens and John Harbaugh do. So it really is no team like that. The Browns, Deshaun Watson, I've backed you a couple years. I'm done now. You got to show me. You got to show me before I can believe it.
Imagine that. He is the big question mark on that team. What a division. Hope that whets your appetite, as Ron Flatter would say. As Aaron Schatz joins us next, the FTN Almanac is out. Football next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.